Pledge.
Our most gracious Father, we come to thee now. We thank you for this country that we live in. We thank you for the blessings that you give us. We pray now that you would be with this meeting. Guide our tongues. Give us the words to say that would be honoring to thee. We ask this in thy name.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Mary.
You're welcome.
Okay. Next, we're ready for minutes. And we got November 6th, 9th, 10th, and 12th.
And revision on number
on
the
September
18th.
I looked at it last time.
Yep.
Everybody ready?
Yes, sir.
All motion?
I move to approve those dates of the minutes.
Second.
Any discussion, questions? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye?
Aye.
Motion carries. Accounts payable. Ready to work on those?
Motion for approval.
I'll second that. You got a reimbursement?
Yep.
All right. Any questions or comments on that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed and abstained.
Aye.
No journal entries or transfers that I saw.
Mm-mm.
Okay. How about public comment?
Mr. Shantz, I believe.
Bob? Good morning.
What I'm going to speak about is very important. I'd rather be in bed this morning. It's raining, it's cold, and I'm a little tired. But I know you may say this, I shouldn't be bringing this up to you, but I feel that I should be bringing it up to you. Saturday morning, about 7:30, I'm laying in bed watching the news, and I hear gaboom. Man, I jumped up out of bed. The dog barked. The dog jumped up. Across the lake from me, I think most of you know where I live, but maybe you may not. These boats, this land is flat. There's my house. It's up 110 feet above on the other side of the lake. But here's my problem. I've got a picture somewhere that shows this land more better. You know where I'm at. I looked out, I didn't see anything, and I know deer season started that morning, and a little later I saw a man walking there with a gun. I thought, well, he didn't get his deer, so he'll leave. About 5 o'clock that night, I'm told by the neighbor next door who rents my other house that he's got a little deer blind over there. And here is my concern. Yes, if he's shooting a deer in this direction, my house is 110 feet, but a man got hit in the stomach the other day, 67-year-old guy. A guy was taking a sling off of his gun. It went off. How do I know it's not going to hit my house? But more than that, I'm concerned about these tour boats. They go four, five, six times a day back and forth. There's two boats. So we have 8, 10, 12, 14 times a day they're going across. I'd almost bet you $100 to a donut that if a 8 or 10 point buck jumped out in that field, someone's going to shoot at it. If they miss the buck, they may hit one of these boats and kill a tourist. If they don't kill him, they're going to hurt him. I'm saying that something needs to be done. Now, let me tell you a story about a year or two ago. I'm reading the Sunday paper, and I hear kaboom, kaboom, kaboom. I look out the window quickly, and there's two ducks falling down between me and the boat down on the lake. I holler at him. I said, hey, there's a house up here. Oh, this is a shotgun. It don't go that far. I said, well, let me get my shotgun and see if it'll reach you. They picked up the ducks and they left. Now, Saturday, when I found out he had a deer blind there, I called Empire Electric, who owns the property. Call up 8 o'clock on Monday. I said, lady, it's hunting season. The boat's going, you know, everything that I just told you. I called Jeff Pardek. I thought he worked for Empire. He may work for White River. I don't know. I left a message and never got a return. I called the game warden. Then I called the sheriff. Now, the sheriff, about 8:30 at night, the young lady says, "Is there a fence around the place? Is he still there?" I said, "It's 8:30 at night, lady. It's dark. I don't know if he's there." We went on and on and on. They're going to have somebody call me. Well, at 9:11 at night, Quentin called me back. That's the game warden. I know he's got a long written house, whatever. It's a long name. He says he can't do anything. That's county property. Well, if it's county property or private property and it's in the county, something needs to be changed. We don't need hunters on Lake Taneycomo or shooting across the lake where there's a house on the other side. There's kids that, the picture that I showed you, when the water's a little low, you'll see four-wheelers riding up and down. Some kids ride there. I know darn well if a hunter sees a big buck, and there is a big one there, they're going to shoot. They're not going to know there's a kid there. So I know it's a conservation. I know it's a hunting and fishing. I know all that. But you gentlemen are the commissioners, and something needs to be done here in Taney County, that you cannot shoot in the direction of a house. I used to target shoot years ago. I know if you're in the woods and you shoot a deer, the bullet will hit a twig, a leaf, a limb. It'll disintegrate before it gets out. Where I live, that is not the case. And where these boats go, that is not the case. So I don't know what you can do. I'm asking you nicely, but I'm saying this needs to be done before we do a bridge, a road, or anything else. It's not going to cost you nothing, but you need to talk to the proper people up in Jeff City and take care of this situation.
I just have two questions.
Yes, sir.
Do you know who owns the property?
I'm told for years it was Empire Electric. That's why I called Empire. But on Saturday night, you get Joplin, Missouri, and there's nobody here right now. So
you have not made, you haven't made contact?
Not yet. I came here this morning, but I intend to.
Okay.
But it's not only that. Quentin told me that he gets calls now, not yet, now, to go down to the Bass Pro Shop parking lot. People are shooting geese. I mean, fellas, we got to make some law that along the lake, if there's a house nearby or if you can see a house, you cannot pull your gun or where kids play. It's serious, and someone's going to get hurt. It may be me, and I'm going to get mad if that's the case. I'd be mad if it hits the boat. But something needs to be done.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Any other comments?
Nothing else listed, Nikki?
Okay. All right. Next on our agenda is Hidden Meadows. And we're still working. Frank, welcome, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. We may want to put this one behind the other two that I have, and we might be able to see video, but at that point
give
in time.
Give us a Coon Creek update.
Why don't you do that, Frank?
Okay. As all of you know, Coon Creek is well under construction. And I have a prepared statement here I'd like to read in regards to that. As of today, with a deadline of 12/15/09, this project is approximately halfway in its timetable. The contractor, Tom Boyce Excavating, is still very optimistic the project will be completed in the contracted time, weather permitting. Even if this should go past the contracted deadline, of which there are liquidated damages, we don't anticipate that, but if it should go past the contracted deadline, it will be due to minor uncompleted work such as finish grading, striping, seating, etc. All major components and structures will be in place and functioning. The contractor is planning on applying rock base, asphalt base, and final surface to the new intersection of Coon Creek and 76 the week of November 15th. According to the weather report this morning, that doesn't look like it will happen. As with projects of this nature, there have been a few minor holdups such as weather, utility relocation, traffic control, and subgrade stabilization. Thanks to teamwork, communication, and coordination between the contractor, the engineers, Taney County representatives, MoDOT, and all utility agencies, this project has continued to move forward with little or no time lost. Work began on the BB and Coon Creek portion of the road November 11th and will continue until completion. As stated earlier, the contractor is optimistic on having both intersections and the related highways completely constructed and asphalted by their deadline.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Questions, comments?
I have a couple comments. There's been a few nice days, so I haven't seen a whole lot of equipment out there. So, But as long as they're on schedule, that's all that matters.
We've made that comment. Randy attends a weekly construction meeting. At the last meeting, he did make that comment, and they we can't force them to be out there every day. But it appears they have missed a couple of nice weather days and having construction activities. The next thing I'd like to talk about is fall cleanup, which was last week. The week prior to that. It was very successful on the east side of Taney County. The workers reported that it was possibly the heaviest year of solid waste or rubbish being brought to the county. Our records indicate that close to 80 tons of material were brought into the flats area or the recycling center for removal. And it was a little more difficult to figure out the amount of tonnage that went into the Branson site because it's also open for daily business. Workers and the tonnage indicate that it was a very successful event.
Good.
I think it's a worthwhile cause to have that twice a year. During my travels throughout Taney County to look at road projects and other things in my duties, I have the opportunity to drive most of Taney County, which some citizens may or may not have the ability to do. And it's very uncommon to find a dump site throughout the hollers or the ravines that they have around here. So I think because of this event that Taney County does free for the citizens, it prevents some of the illegal dumpings that in general have used to occur in the past. And I think it's a good event. We should continue to do so.
I noticed going there to the sites that you see trailer loads of stuff that would very possibly end up there. So I'm comfortable that we're using finances in a good way to citizens' money, paying for it, bottom line, of course. And they appreciate it, and I think they kind of planned their, some of them planned their years. That's, you know, we got cleanup coming. We'll get that cleaned up.
We probably get several calls a month from citizens wanting to know when the spring or fall cleanup will be. So they are doing advanced planning for that event and saving their goodies for that.
Yep.
We had success.
X Drive under Hidden Meadows.
If you need more time, we can go to Sheila
and come back. You want to do that, Frank? Walk over
here.
Make sure it's working. And
Sheila, we're ready for your report. Outstanding checks to the treasurer. Surplus tax sale. Return tax statements. Good morning. Got some more paper to look at,
yeah,
huh?
I didn't know. At first, I was just going to do one, and I don't want anyone to feel slotty, so.
Oh, we wouldn't know that.
No, you could have kept the picture.
Okay. I was just going to call up and ask.
No, you're fine. Thank you, ma'am.
I think the first document you have is the outstanding unclaimed checks. As you know, we changed banks this year, and I've closed the Bank of America account officially on October 31st, and the list of checks, those people have been written, all of those except the ones that were done in June have received two notices, and some of them more than that. But a final notice was sent out telling them that the account would officially be closed the 31st of October, and they would be turned over. And if they didn't claim them by that time, they would need to go, they would be in the unclaimed checks. That's a list of the people that are being turned over to the treasurer. The check was given to the treasurer in that amount. And the large one, represent the total is $5,913.03, but you'll see there's one large customer there. I had one girl that probably spent a total of maybe 2 hours on the phone going from one customer service to another, couldn't get through to anybody, and then when she would get someone, anyway, we were just unable. So we sent out we'd already sent one letter, we sent the final letter in. So that's where that's at.
Okay. That's the 59-1303?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The next item is the tax sale surplus. And I'm just going to skim over the statute 140.230. It's when real estate's been sold for taxes, the collector of any county within the state of Missouri sells for a greater amount than the taxes due. It shall be the duty of the collector of the county when the sale has been made to make a written statement describing each parcel, tract of land sold by her for a greater amount than the debt, giving the amount of surplus money in each case. The statement shall be subscribed and then presented to the county commission of the county where the sale has been, and on the approval of the statement by the commission, the collector making the same shall pay the surplus money into the county treasurer. The treasurer places the money in a school fund and to be held in the trust for a term of 3 years. At the end of the 3 years, if no such fund shall be called for, then it's a permanent school fund of the county. The county commissions shall ask for satisfactory proof of those that come to claim it, and the way we've done it and works very well in the past is the treasurer has the same document you have, and after someone redeems the property, they can go right into the treasurer's office and claim the surplus, and they have given proof already to redeem it by the statute, and she has a copy of that. Are there any questions in regard to that?
The surplus is, what is it, am I reading it, $66,320?
That's the unclaimed.
That's the surplus, right?
Yes, at this time, that's the unclaimed surplus.
Okay.
And you will notice some of those kind of highlighted an amount over to the side. That's those that have redeemed and claimed their surplus already before I turned it over.
Gotcha. Okay.
I assume the money goes to whatever school the property's lays in.
Uh-huh. School trust fund. Uh-huh. At the end of 3 years.
Okay.
So you need an approval on this one?
It says.
Is there a motion then?
Present upon approval of the statement by the commission.
Okay.
Mm. Just approving the statement? Is
yeah,
that what so the statute says?
Mm-hmm.
So just make a motion to approve the statement.
All right, I move that we approve the 2009 tax sale surplus statement as presented.
I'll second the motion. Any questions or comments on that? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. All right, thank you. Next.
Okay. I would like to say that I truly appreciate all the employees of the county and all the offices working together for the citizens. I understand there's a special elected official that is very concerned that the collector's office do due diligence in seeing that the customer receive the tax statement, and I too share his concern. On behalf of the clerks that work in the collector's office, I would like to assure Mr. Strahan or anyone else that the clerks, Ms. Smith, Ms. Muller, Ms. Tinker, and Ms. Barnett, share his concern also. I'm very proud of the care that they give to help in this matter. And I would like to share with you the process that we go through to find each taxpayer, and would ask that if anyone has a suggestion that we might use that we're not using, please come to the collector's office and share it with us. It's not necessary to take up the Honorable Commissioner's time. If you truly want to help, we welcome you to come in the office and give us any suggestion you have and go over it. If a person escrows their taxes through a bank and the bank requests to pay the tax, the bank receives a statement and the customer receives a statement that says duplicate at the top with information on the statement telling the taxpayer the bank has requested their statement. The bulk mailing is mailed out through a service used by many counties to obtain the best rate and receive any new address that has been registered with the post office. Their system kicks out any envelope that has a forwarding address and prints the new forwarding address at the bottom of the envelope. The mailing service employee brings those statements back to the collector's office so we may obtain the new address. Three clerks immediately start typing the new address along with the old address for cross-reference in Excel to give to the assessor to decide if he wants to change his database. The law requires the collector's records come from the assessor and address changes to be recorded and maintained there. It also requires the assessor to keep the record of change until superseded. Therefore, these spreadsheets will help with record keeping. These are an example of the spreadsheets. This year is the changes that were made. Many years we've received about 2 trays of mail that we handle in this manner. When I say tray, I'm talking about this. They bring us back about 2 trays of this. And that's what the girls immediately start getting the address off and make and prepare these sheets from. And as soon as we've completed recording the new address, we call the mailing service and they pick the statements up. He takes the mail back to their office at no additional charge and they mail the mail out that day. Each day we pick up mail from the post office, we continue to receive returned unclaimed mail with no forwarding address. And I looked today, we've not got the bulk mail today, we've just got the small amount I picked over the weekend, but we probably got a stack about like that today. And when she picks up the bulk mail, I'm sure there'll be more. I have one employee that works from 8 to 5 each day searching for a new address. She first checks the collector's database to see if there might be another account with a different address. Then she goes to the assessor's database to see if it was changed there and did not get to the collector's. If it is a business, they check to see if they have a merchant's license with a different address. And they search various websites, the DOR, the white pages, the yellow pages. If they can be located by phone, they call for a correct address. That is the difficult thing because many of ours are out of state. If the other clerks get their work done, they proceed to help in the search for the new addresses. We sometimes receive calls from someone that we have found on the web and sent to their address to find it is the wrong person who might be quite unhappy, and they give us various suggestions of better ways to do it. But there are none that help us. We sometimes receive calls from someone that we found through the web thanking us for finding them. This process of looking for addresses does not stop with a mailing at this time of the year. Every time we send any kind of notice that is returned mail, we make the same effort to find a new address. If we can get a new address at any time, we fill out a change form and give it to the assessor's office. He has a box in her office and a girl picks up at least once a day. All of the above steps are done for every citizen to try to get their statement to them. If anyone knows of a website that allows one to enter the old address, that would be wonderful, and it would give us assurance that when we find a new one, we have the right person. I've been unable to find a website on that. We have been unable to find a good address for this amount so far. These are letters that have been done, everything I've just went over with you, and they will go in our unclaimed file until if someone comes in. This tray is in the collector's office, and if anyone wants to go through it and they know of a better way or if they happen to recognize someone and know them, we'd certainly be happy and we'd welcome it because we want to try to get them their tax bill. This year through the in the tax sale process, and probably there's several in here that would apply to that, is we did the one mailing, first-class mail, and then we did a certified mail. That's by a court case. We really don't have any better luck with the certified mail than we probably have better luck with the registered mail, because if you don't get to the certified mail in a certain period of time, it's just sent back and we get calls. Anyway, I do appreciate any help that anyone would have or suggestions to give us to do better for the citizens. And thank you so much. And these will be in there if anyone wants to go through them. And if you've got, and if anyone does know a website, I sincerely would love to have one that we could tell the, you know, have the old address. And thank you once again.
Thanks, Sheila. Oh, question, Mr. Chance.
Suggestion.
Okay, thank you.
Here is my suggestion.
again, we've got to go to Jeff City. Can the law be made that says when you have a piece of property, it's your responsibility to give a new address. If Sheila's office has to spend unnecessary time, can the law somewhere not say you'll be charged $100 additional on top of your taxes if you spend... Go ahead. I mean, it's...
No, I'm sorry, but there is a law requiring, I'm sorry, I should have said that, thank you for bringing it out, that if the customer does not receive their tax bill, they're still responsible for paying the taxes.
That's right.
But we would like to give them the tax bill so they don't have the penalties and interest. But if they do not give the assessor their new address, and I thought of this with all of these, you know, like with the impact notices going out. You know, if they don't give their address, they're not going to get an impact notice. It just, it's important. Some people think when they change at the post office that we're just automatically going to get it. No. But thank you. Any other suggestion you have, we appreciate it.
You want me, my arm is better. Can I carry this, please?
Sure.
Holy mackerel. How did you pick it?
Sheila.
Yes, ma'am.
You asked for a suggestion. Uh-huh. I know that you're very diligent in all of this, and my office has directed calls to you and citizens to you anytime there's a question about your office so that you can assist them. And you've probably already done this, but have you checked that list to see if those are properties that are transferred into other people's names that haven't been corrected in the assessor's books yet? That'd be the only suggestion.
The clerks that transfer in the assessor's office work real well with us up until the time when the transfer comes. From that time on, every time they transfer a piece of property, we have a box in there and they put it in that, then we change our side up until the time that they're actually mailed out. That's something that, because we're not on the same system, that we don't get those automatically, you know, dropped down. But, we do that, and thank you. But, Lona and Kathy, and same thing on change of addresses. From the time we tell them when this drop down is going to occur, and we say, now from this point on, you'll need to give us any changes, and they bring them in, put them in the box, and yeah, thank you. Any other suggestions?
Yeah. Do we have any way of knowing whether the same people who didn't get their letter this year didn't get it last year and the year before?
If they didn't get it this year, if they didn't pay their taxes, okay, if they pay their taxes, also on the on our statement at the bottom of it, it has a place for a change of address, and that's another thing. If they fill that out, we put it in the assessor's box, but it comes down to your tax sale probably then. If they didn't get it this year, didn't get it last year, and that's going to be true because then if we get them back from the tax sale, we got the same thing. But we go through all the same procedures.
I was just curious.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And they may be out of state. You can. We just don't have a great deal. When you go on the web and look, we don't have Social Security numbers, which we shouldn't have. We don't. But you're limited on what you find.
One of the things that I find as a real estate agent is that a lot of people out there, if they have elderly parents, they live out of state, something such as that, oftentimes the kids don't realize that there is no automatic process of changeover of property. I have notified many people by phone to say, when they call me and they say, you know, I want to sell this property because it's an estate and my parents have passed away, I ask them, first of all, whose name is the property in? And second of all, have you notified the county of any changes in name on this? And 9 out of 10 of them say, no, I didn't realize I had to. So if maybe there's some kind of a written notice that goes out on the bottom of tax notices, notify assessor's office, notify collector's office of any changes on property, that may be of help. I don't know.
You're talking about name changes?
Well, I'm talking about name changes, address changes. There is an assumption out there that all this stuff is just automatically taken care of, even among people here.
Okay.
And so I think that sometimes those things get lost because they don't realize that nobody's in there just doing this full-time changeover any time that any kind of paperwork goes in. And I don't think they even realize what paperwork goes in.
And that's
in.
Why on every tax bill, of course, if you don't get the tax bill, you don't see it, but on every tax bill at the bottom, it says, and there's a note in there, but a lot of people don't read it, but it has a change of address.
It.
Yeah, okay. It's a... Maybe we need to change it every year so it would make them want to read it. I don't know. But
or put it in different colors.
It says if you've received this tax bill in error or if you have sold the property, if you should go to a different address, please call and give the numbers. Mm-hmm. And it says if you've moved, this is a change of address. And okay, I don't want to take up your guys' time on it, but if there's anybody has suggestions, you can just come in the office, and we'd love to brainstorm it with you. And you too, if any of you guys do. And thank you once again.
All right.
Thank you, Sheila.
James?
This is a major issue, but as you've seen, the size of the trade, we're probably talking at less than 1%, probably less than 0.5% of the tax bill that goes out. Whichever one does an excellent job, if you guys had to go through what Sheila and I have to go through trying to find people, you'd appreciate it more. We have actual addresses on general warranty deeds that wrong that we send the tax bills to. We have everything. We have a space. If we hit the computer wrong on a space nowadays, the address is wrong. So this is a problem. But my suggestion, I think you can get on a website, lost funds in the state of Missouri nowadays. I would suggest we put up the collector has a website, put up unclaimed tax bills and put them right on there. So the best way to find these people is a friend happens to be on their computer and says, hey, do you know your tax bill's still in Forsyth? Do you know you're not going to get that type of thing? Recognition is the main thing. We have found a few of these. We went as far as calling a neighboring property to one gentleman and said, hey, did you know your neighbor's property is fixing to tell on a tax sale? And he said, no, but I'll get word to him. The gentleman didn't have a phone. In this day and age, the gentleman did not have a phone. So these type of things are just administrative. But that suggestion, posted on the web, there's people calls all the time. I had a person call me one time and said I had unclaimed funds in the state of Missouri. But I didn't know it. But they told me that I did. So that might be something we just enter on the collector's website as unclaimed tax bills.
James, you had some concerns last week. I know it was in the minute on wrong addresses. Are you comfortable that things are going all right?
Yeah, the only thing is I requested to see these last week, and they were getting them ready for me. Sometimes we just thumb through them and see our neighbor's name. Sometimes we thumb through them and see a very popular name in the Taney County. So if we can just look through those names and drag those out of there, if there's a wrong address happens to be on that, we can get it to the individuals. But so far this year, we haven't seen these.
So it's going pretty well, as far as you know.
From the looks of the tray, I'm pretty pleased with what's there.
Good. Okay. Sheila?
That's a good idea on the website. The only problem is I don't have the staff to enter each one in the website. And if you do that, then you've got need to monitor it and take it off when it's claimed. I mean, I don't like a website that's not kept up. And I don't, there's lots of things I want to do to mine, but I've just never had time to do it. I don't have the staff that could do it.
Well, James, maybe you can still hear me. I kind of understand what y'all go through. I've got a neighbor where we used to live that left, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Left her boat, her truck, and everything, camper. And the only address they have is the physical address. And I've tried to find them, see if we could buy it or clean it up or something. And you just can't find them. So I understand what y'all go through. It, a little bit I understand anyway. So... anyhow, any other comments on that? All right. We ready?
All right.
Let's do hidden Meadows then.
Aerial map to give us an...
It says Hidden Meadow off of Reinhardt Road. Anybody that's interested? I don't see any property owners.
We can move on to the video then. I put a pack of road petition review in front of all three of you this morning.
Got it.
Which one do you want?
Doesn't matter. Trying to pull up is Meadow Lane. It's phase two of Hidden Meadow development. Known dedicated right-of-way of 50 feet, measured surface width of 22. Road length is 4,000 feet or 0.75 of a mile. Asphalt hot mix in poor condition. 16 homes, projected daily traffic of 80. We verified last week that it is a school bus route. I think Mr. Pell and I drove this several months ago. Actually feels longer than that. At that point in time, things didn't appear as bad as upon further review this past week. And basically the area is ready for a road surface treatment of an overlay.
Estimation you have is 40,000 to 80,000. It's a pretty big variable there.
It is. The unknowns are the amount of dig outs that need to be done by the crews prior to the removal, the laying of the asphalt.
Are you comfortable with this estimate that was John provided, Mr. Ryder?
We talked about it last week. I am comfortable with those estimates.
Frank, there's been other subdivisions or job sites that we've had that were applied for in the same condition, and we requested at that time, I know one we had, and you had a video of it, we requested three dig outs in that particular subdivision road to assure ourselves that we weren't getting into a major problem with dig outs. Would there be anything wrong with that recommendation to the commission that the people paid for those? I don't know whether we, if we're considering this, if it's less expensive for us to go out and dig three dig outs in the road and repair them than it is to invest $80,000 in a road project. Well, I would be for at least looking at three or four dig outs in places where you thought were bad, and that's what I understand from what your conversation was with me. Mm-hmm. I can't remember where those were at, but we have done that twice in the past that I know of. One of them was possibly Whitetail Crossing. The other one was in a subdivision that I can't. I think we had a representative from the subdivision here, and they made a suggestion that they go ahead and dig out the three places, and you went out and looked at them. And
Foxglove, I think.
I think so. Does the commission have any opinion on that, or I guess I'm asking Frank if that would be... Now, until we take it into the county road system, the reason that the citizens paid for it, I wouldn't care if they paid for it and if we found it, but if we want to go ahead and take them in, that they be reimbursed for their effort. But I don't want to use taxpayer dollars if you have. What I understand from here is exactly what we had at Whitetail, that it took us about 3 or 4 years to finally get straightened up, was the fact that the overlay had thinned reduced mm-hmm. the head 2-inch overlay that it went down to 1.5 inches, and because of the sub material that was used. And what do you guys think about anything like that?
Well, excuse me a second, Art. My thought is the subdivision's been there for I don't know how long, not extremely long time, but we've been maintaining and taking in the part that we have. And when Frank and I went out and looked at it, I don't remember any difference in than what we're maintaining and what we're not maintaining. And there's been a number of homes on this new part for some time, and it just the petition to take it in, whenever it was, had been some time ago, and it was just never followed up on to take the rest of it in. And it seems to me that it'd be sensible that we maintain the whole thing. And whether it's dig outs now or to your point, Danny, I don't know what the schedule ought to be. But
what's the turnaround at the end of the end of Meadow Lane? What's the turnaround look like? It looks like it's a dead end with a gate. Is that correct?
No, there's a cul-de-sac.
I think there's a cul-de-sac at the end.
Yeah. Okay.
A 100-foot diameter cul-de-sac.
Yeah, it's got a good size cul-de-sac. I'm confident. I don't have a picture of it. Well, I know it just shows a dead ending there, but
I hear it has a picture of it.
Yeah.
What's the cost you're showing for Hickory Ridge? Because you have all these, you recommend patches be done in either an overlay or chip seal, but there's no dollar figure with Hickory Ridge Corp.
On the road petition that talks about Meadow Lane, the dollar figure is $40,000 to $80,000 for both of the.
So that's the combined.
Yeah.
For both?
Chip seal would be about on the lower range of that, and the overlay would be closer to the upper range. Both of those numbers include road repairs prior to the eventual treatment.
We first approved, or this was approved, April 21 of 2003, contingent upon mailboxes being moved. So we had some monument type mailboxes, evidently.
They've been moved.
Yeah,
yes.
It had to be here. We've been taking it in. It was continued.
And they don't have that mailbox problem here?
I've been thinking of watching the video last week. I don't recall that we had a mailbox issue.
I don't think so. Wouldn't swear to it, though.
Geometry, I mean, it's considering all the some of the things we've taken in Taney County in regards to right-of-way and geometry and build, this is a good candidate. I just want the review to reflect that it is needing a surface treatment at this point in time.
Well, I'll make a motion to take it in for maintenance, and the schedule's up to Frank. I mean, as far as when there's a surface treatment or dig outs or those kind of things, which would be Hickory Ridge and the rest of
Meadow Lane.
Meadow.
I was going to move to table it, so okay. Until Wednesday is what I was going to do.
That's fine.
How about we?
Motion to table takes precedence over anything else.
How about I move to table it to the 9:15 on Wednesday morning that we have scheduled? That'll give me time to drive out there, and then this just seems like $40,000 to $80,000 seems like a big, I mean, I'd say swag, but it seems
right.
There's a big variable. Normally we see 15 to 20, and
that's understandable. And those numbers are based on two different types of treatments.
Okay.
If we pin down that. We'd be comfortable with the chip seal, then the number would be closer to $40,000.
Okay. And what does it have right now, hot mix now, or is it chip seal?
It's hot mix now. It's not been common that we've chip sealed in residential-type neighborhoods, but it's not an uncommon practice. It's just not common for us here in Taney County. So, therefore, I was hesitant in stating that a chip seal would be sufficient.
Right.
Due to the fact that it's not something we typically do in a residential neighborhood.
Yeah, why I'm so hesitant is I keep on thinking about the new numbers that MoDOT says what it takes cost to maintain a road every year, and all of a sudden, that every time, this is almost a mile of road, which would be, what, $7,000 for this a year?
Right. Well, that's that number, that $7,000 is on an annual basis, and chip seal turnaround is anywhere from 4 to 7 years, so you multiply that number over that amount of time, and then you come up with the 28 to 35 or so.
Right.
I'll second your motion to table.
Okay.
Give us a little more time to look at it. Just think about it.
If you'd like to go out there.
I may just buzz by there on the way home tonight. So.
Okay. If there's any further information other than trying to get the video to work, I'll gather some more information if you like.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Art?
Thank you.
Instead of doing them dig outs like he's talking about, them cost you a lot of money every time you do a dig out. Why don't you take a core sample of these roads and you can take 15 core samples, almost to the price of one dig out, and then you got the core sample you can come back on later on if you park it on there and you can wait for the oil and the water containment and all that. But the core sample is a lot better than the dig out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else? Ready to vote? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. All right. Other comments, questions?
I mean, nothing on the agenda, but this week is, make sure I say this right, Hungry and Homeless Awareness Week. Right. And the city of Branson had a proclamation, but I wanted to make it aware to all those out there listening is that it's a time to reflect and be thankful, but also to help out anybody who's in need. But anyway, I just wanted to point out that what Branson did a proclamation, I just wanted to point out that we're always thinking about that also.
Yep. Good point. I saw that. Mm-hmm. Rayanne did a nice proclamation, yep. And we've got a number of good organizations
that support those needs.
That work those, yep.
Got a question for, I was visiting with the ladies this morning about my conference. Does it run in from Sunday to Wednesday next week?
That's a good point. We won't have a meeting next Monday.
We don't have a meeting next Monday. I didn't want people to show up here. And
good point.
Yeah, we are at our annual Missouri Association of Counties meeting. So if you want to have a meeting without us, that'd be fine. I won't say any more now. It's going to be funny, but I better not.
In reading the minutes, I had some questions. There's a question about the, maybe we need to do this in administrative, that our motion on funding the assessor's office for the rest of the year, do we need to clarify that?
I think they were clarified, I believe.
We're okay? Okay.
I think so. I saw some emails clearing that up.
Another thing I read was the benefits fair. We talked about that on the 9th. And I was wondering if we put together a letter for all the employees, mm-hmm. talking about the benefits of direct deposit paychecks and also the cafeteria plan, that employees could have a little time to see how those things work before the benefits fair, so that when they get here, they've had time to kick it around. If they got questions, they'd be might be better prepared to take advantage of those two benefits.
Not enough people take advantage of those things.
A lot of employees are not getting the advantage of those benefits. What do you think? Maybe I could work with Don Blue or
we've got a benefits on the agenda for later on today. Okay. Actually at 11:15.
Okay.
We have the health benefits discussion. Or the 11 o'clock insurance fund discussion, so we can bring up either one.
Okay.
I think Don and Rick, either one or both will be in that meeting. So.
Okay. All right. I think I'm good to go.
Good.
I think our next one's upstairs, right? Next meeting?
Shouldn't be.
No? What's it say there, 9:45 or?
Conference. 944, you just got to hear a conference room. Oh, it says conference room versus hearing room.
Right. We'll put a sign down here.
We probably want to do it down here just because we've got public service. We can. Okay. We'll probably just move. Nikki, this room's. It's supposed to be down here, right?
Yeah.
Supposed to be here?
Okay. We'll just put a, yeah, that's right. We'll put a sign up there and we'll have it here anyway.
How about a couple minute recess and then we'll do that? Okay. Thank you.